Welcome to Radio Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, August 2nd, 2021. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern till midnight. If you are listening over live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org. Click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by app, phone, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on the donation tab on the top right-hand side of our website. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off last week with our scripture reading. We're reading in the Gospel of John. Let me open it up. Anybody that's watching on the browser will be able to read along with us. Gospel of John, we're in chapter 19, and this is being read by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 19. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?" Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth, and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the Pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate saith unto them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the Place of a Skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, "Write not, 'The King of the Jews,' but that he said, 'I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments, and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, "Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be." That the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, "They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots." These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head, and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation, that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers, and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, They shall look on him whom they pierced. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand.
Okay, if anybody would like to get into the queue, star 6 to get into the queue. Anybody has any questions or a comment, star 6 to get into the queue. let me just shut a few things down here. Okay, all right, we're going to be starting... to press hard on our campaign for constitutional sheriffs. One of our plans was to really get a campaign going to purchase books for our sheriffs. The book Government by Consent, by now everybody should know or probably does know that the book is available for sale. Books are being delivered. We've delivered a great deal of books already, but we have more books yet to be delivered. I'm waiting for another delivery of books to come to me. I'm hoping to get them before the end of the week and maybe get them out next weekend, so the following week those who have not gotten the books yet or we haven't mailed them out yet will be receiving those books. Most of the books that we haven't sent out yet are really the books going to sheriffs, but there were a few people that we just didn't have enough books to send out, but there wasn't that many. But right now, if anybody wants to buy a book, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org. You can see here on the desktop here that I'm sharing. Click on the book, Government by Consent, where it says buy the book. And basically, you get some information up here about the book. And also, we have the table of contents, and we also have the preface that is available to be read. If you click on that, it's 15 pages. It gives a real, real good perspective or position of what the book is about. So by clicking on that, you know, you'll discover, again, that you probably would like to buy this book since you're interested here with National Liberty Alliance, and we're trying to save the Republic. As Jefferson said, we have government, in order for us to have government by consent, he had said that if the people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. And that's what National Liberty Alliance is all about, to bring to the people the knowledge of how to have government by consent. That's the purpose of the book. It is to teach us of our true heritage, unadulterated, and how and a lot of information in there, how this government should be run. There's one chapter in there that's got 30 memorandums, and it's a pretty powerful chapter. Just take a quick look at them. Let me see what chapter they actually are in. Okay, it's in chapter 10 of the book. We have memorandums, a memorandum on abortion, and these are memorandums of law. It's pretty clear on the conclusion of these memorandums as you read through them and see all of the evidence and information. The abrogation of the law of the land, Amendment 2, Amendment 10, Article 3 courts, the balance of power, court of record, democracy versus the republic, founders' concern about the judiciary, government by consent, the grand jury authority, habeas corpus, high treason, natural law, jury nullification, jury tampering and stacking, law and equity, natural rights versus civil rights, non-judicial foreclosures, petty juries authority, rules of the common law, seditious conspiracy, right of self-government, sovereignty, statutes, codes, regulations, tax courts, USC Title 18, enemies foreign and domestic, treason by enemies domestic, founding fathers and their political parties. So anyway, these particular memorandums are pretty powerful. People can use them in their court cases if they're battling a court case, particularly against the government, and in order to make their positions. But also, just to add on to this, we do have a lot of handbooks available for download. You can find them under People's Duty. Come down to Handbooks, and you click on that, and you will get quite a few books down here. One of the handbooks is the Committee of Safety Handbook, which is a step-by-step on how to create committees of safety within your county, how to make the connection between county and county, state to state. And it's got a lot of good information on how we can take back control of our government. We also have here the Committee Man's Handbook, which is an extremely important book, and it'll explain to people how a committee man is truly elected and what the processes of the committee man is and how the whole process should run and how we, the people, should have total control over that process, making the decision on who gets onto the ballot and who doesn't. We have a jurist handbook. That's probably the most powerful handbook that we do have. I just recently had updated that handbook maybe a couple of weeks ago. We added a lot of information from Lysander Spooner's essay on the jury, trial by jury. And again, it's an extremely powerful book. Anybody who is going to become a jurist, whether it be for the grand jury or the trial jury, that being the petit jury, these books should be handed to every individual. And that is our plan at some point in time when we take back our courts. And then they will be fully informed jurists and fully capable and ready to be able to hear a case and make a just decision. So it's a very fascinating and a very powerful handbook. People should read that handbook. Again, all these handbooks are in PDF form. You can download them. They're free of charge. We will eventually get handbooks written. I have been discussing that with the publisher about trying to get them out. I'm not sure exactly how I'm going to go. I'm trying to get them the cheapest I can so people can buy them for a very low price and also will buy them in quantities. But we will... As soon as we can get that done, we'll post that up there. But it'll always be available for free in PDF form, because more important is that people are informed and that they are fully informed jurists. And each and every one of us should participate in the jury process. We will be putting on the front page, on our welcome page, and also on every page, on the right-hand side, right underneath the book. But we're also going to put this on our front page, maybe right underneath the donate tab, for people to participate and join our campaign for constitutional sheriffs. I'm anticipating that link to be up there tomorrow. And as soon as it is up there, I will be sending out emails to all of our members, so everybody that is a member of National Liberty Alliance and all our mailing list, therefore. We'll get an email explaining what we're doing with this campaign and how important this campaign really is. You know, we have almost 10,000 members with National Liberty Alliance, and I do believe we're at that point where we're going to be hitting critical mass as soon as I'm out there starting to be interviewed for this book. I know I'm going to have an interview coming up this weekend, I believe. Gerard and I are going to be interviewed with Liberty Beacon, and that's a recorded interview. They'll be recording that, and probably sometime the week following that weekend, it'll be posted, and we'll let people know when that's available. We'll be plugging the book, of course, very powerfully and strongly. Also, I will actually be interviewed on the book maybe a weekend or two further down the road. I'm also trying to get into various other places so I can get the word out. I'll be running through a lot of the radio programs that we've been on in the past years and bringing forward the book. I'm looking and hoping that we might be might be interviewed on a couple of programs that have large audiences. Uncommon Knowledge, the guy that does that, his name is Thomas. I forget his last name, but the Uncommon Knowledge is on TV. They've been around for, goodness, a long time, 20, 30 years. Does great, great interviews, and he interviews people that have uncommon knowledge. It is unfortunate that government by consent is uncommon knowledge. So this hopefully will bring it to be common knowledge, because if we don't make this common knowledge, we're going to lose our republic. Now, many of us that have been following what's going on and getting some inside information from behind the scenes, so to speak, and know that the military is getting ready to move in at some point in time. We don't know exactly when. It could be August. It could be September. We just don't know. That particular information has not been given to us. But we do know that there is a movement to take back our nation from the deep state. We know Trump has promised us that he would not permit, he will not allow this nation to become a Marxist or a communist nation. Of course, he made that promise when he was in office. I do believe he's still in office. I think we have two presidents. I think this is very similar in the sense of the situation, having two presidents back in Lincoln's day. Right now, we do know that the election was fixed. I've been aware, and I'm sure many of us maybe have been aware, that the elections are fixed for many, many years. I became aware of this some 15, 20 years ago. And now, of course, it's coming to really to the general public to be revealed of this problem and to be fixed. But that's one of the things, the people need to see before the military can act. They need to see what's going on. They need to see how they've fixed and altered the election and who these people are that have been running our nation for these so many years, only bringing us to destruction, destroying our way of life, our heritage, our government and taking away our government by consent and putting a slave tax upon us, a tax upon even our own homes, and taking our homes away with non-judicial foreclosures. And those things go on and on. People are in jail across this nation, many of them in federal prisons, but also in state prisons across this nation, and they don't belong there. They've been falsely accused, and the juries were all fixed and stacked, and habeas corpus has been done away with. The common law has been abrogated in 1938 by the United States Supreme Court. They all deserve to be hung. Of course, we're way past any of those justices being alive. But nevertheless, the federal judiciary and the United States Supreme Court are still guilty of treason. They know the truth. And we are aware that some of them, you know, kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. But the day is coming when they're going to have to answer to this. And, of course, those who are really stuck between a rock and a hard place, so to speak, take the right stand. Of course, we won't be going forward with indictments on them. But we have offered the olive branch, and we're going to see how things go in the very near future. and then make we the people are going to have to make decisions. Meanwhile, we have to get the word out. We have to get our sheriffs to become constitutionally minded. And they are not. They don't know. And we've spoken to some sheriffs, and, you know, some sheriffs say, you know, we don't know. We have to go to the county attorney to get information on law to figure out which way to go. And they're also taught to be, you know, regular policemen instead of the constitutional lawmen. And they're very confused. They have a little knowledge, but they don't have enough knowledge, and they don't have rock solid knowledge. They don't have documentation. And again, that's what this book is all about: government by consent. It is documentation. Every single thing in this book is documented. You know, it is full of footnotes. And there's over 1,000 footnotes in this book, given reference to where we get our information. So it is clear. Also, truth is self-evident. The Bible tells us that truth is self-evident. Jefferson discovered that and wrote it right into the Declaration of Independence, that truth is self-evident. And so as people read through this book and start to see all of this documentation, all of this information, things that they've never heard before, that they've never understood, a liberty and a freedom that they haven't even dreamed about. People don't even really understand what liberty truly is and what true freedom is. And this book offers this. This is a book, really, of the words of our founding fathers, of the words of the great men that have built this nation over 100 years. And even till today, there are still some great men who have tried to do the right thing and bring things back to where it belongs. Ever since I've been alive, there has been a conspiracy, and it goes long before even I was even born, a conspiracy to destroy this nation. As a matter of fact, the conspiracy goes all the way back to the Revolution. The Revolution has never really ended. We lost World War II, by the way, but the Revolution has continued covertly. But now it is beginning to be seen by the people, so it's now becoming overt by the revealing of the sins of these individuals, the destruction and the evil that they are guilty of. And it's going to be appalling. It's going to be shocking. This nation's getting ready to go into a shock that'll shake the world. The people will find this very hard to believe, what they're going to be told on what's been going on behind the scenes and who really has been really, controlling our nation. So over time, they will see the proof as time goes on. And so all of this is part of the process. And they're moving very quickly because they know their time is short. And they know that something's about to happen. And Trump forced their hand into this. The military forced their hand into this. And so they're moving quickly. I saw a video on Amazing Polly during the week, this past week, and I'm going to post some information. Matter of fact, I'm going to go up here to Reality Check, and I'm going to put something up there, and I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to name the tab, but it'll be something about news, behind-the-scene news that people don't hear about, I don't know. I'll figure something out, and I'll make the announcement. I'll send out an email on this. And I'm going to post particular people that I've been listening to, tuning into to get my information. And maybe a lot of us already have been listening to some of these people. Someone sent to us, as a matter of fact, it'll be picked up in the questions tonight when Jan picks up on the questions and asks these questions. They sent a video, and they thought that maybe the video came in a little too late and wouldn't be able to address that video. But I did pick it up early evening or late afternoon today, and I did go out and watch that video, and I'm going to make sure that video is up on that page. I don't know how to embed Rumble into our website, but I do understand that that could be done, and I'm waiting for information from one of our techs on how to be able to do that. Maybe something has to be done on our website in order for us to do it. It's not like YouTube. We just put the link in there, the URL, and save it, and then we'll be able to watch a video on the website. But I'm going to post this video. It's a powerful video. It's a shocking video. And people are going to realize what is really going on here with this quote-unquote virus and what they're injecting into people and what they're sticking up people's nose with the tests. I strongly suggest if anybody thinks they have the virus for whatever reason, you know, generally, I know my son was just ill and he had a lot of symptoms, and he went to the doctor, and then he went to see the doctor, and they were able to tell him that he didn't have the virus, but they wanted to do a test. Unfortunately, he did go take that test. But some of these tests, depending on, I guess, what the pharmaceutical company they're coming out of, I guess, has problems and is infecting the people with things that we don't understand. And I'm not going to get too deep into this conversation. I know Gerard has, I think Gerard has watched the video. I'm not too sure. I think he has. Maybe he can comment better. I don't feel that I can articulate this information well enough. But I will tell you that it's insidious. And they're turning us into soft robots, if you may, where they'll be able to control so many different things. Even our very thoughts that we would think are our own thoughts, and they'll be able to do things by giving us pleasure, or even fear, or pain. This is what's going on, and it has something to do with goodness, I forget what they call it, but these bots. It's a microscopic robot links that connect one to another and to another. And again, like I said, I don't have enough knowledge to articulate this well, so I would suggest everybody to watch these videos. And again, when Gerard picks up the mic, maybe he can articulate it a lot better than I can, so I'm going to leave it right there. But it was a very powerful, frightening, video. You know, I was basically aware of some of it, but of course this enlightened me even more. Because I had heard about this through Amazing Polly, and anybody who's been listening to Amazing Polly knows that she's a really, really great researcher. She comes down with things and links things together and ties it up and brings in documentation, documented proof, and very powerful, very solid information. So that we all should have. And some other sources of information, we're going to post that, like I said, in a page under Reality Check. And I'll announce it on the news. I'm also going to send an announcement out once we get the page up for being able to for people to come up and donate a book to the sheriff. And there'll be a box there where you can put your county in, and we will send a book to the county in your state that you ask. And if that sheriff's already got a book, then we'll send it to another sheriff within your state. Our goal is to get these books to about 3,000 plus sheriffs. So if anyone can donate one book, two books, five books, 10 books, 20 books, whatever they can donate, let's get it done. The most important thing for we the people to do to save this nation is, number one, educate ourselves, and number two, hopefully at the same time, educate our sheriffs. And when we do that, then we will see the need and have, and I should hope to have the drive to build committees of safety within your county and link together. We the people need to link together, county to county, state to state, in one accord, to take these people out and to have government by consent and bring people who are actually statesmen and not politicians. You know, our founding fathers thought it was repugnant to be involved with politics. It was repugnant to them. a properly run common law or natural law, they're synonymous, you can say it either way, but let's call it a natural law, a properly run natural law republic cannot survive with the politics, the political arguments, the debates, the right against the left. There is nothing to debate. There's a job for these people to do. To do the proper legislations on the powers and the authorities that we gave these people in Article 1. To not step outside their jurisdictional powers of the courts in Article 3. And to not to take this nation into endless wars and not protect our borders and many, many other things. We've laid that out in Article 2. There's nothing for them to discuss. We didn't ask them to go up there and discuss whether they should have gun control, whether they should try to control abortion, which, by the way, abortion is a law issue, not an equity issue. And the United States Supreme Court has no power, has no authority. We've given them no such power. We've given them no such authority to make any decision on anything concerning law, with the exception of being a champion to anyone whose unalienable rights are being violated. Other than that, it belongs in a court of law, and it belongs in the state courts, not in the federal courts. So it's the people to decide concerning these issues, the issue of abortion, and many, many other things that they've made decisions on. The people are ignorant to this. They don't know this. That's why they allow this. I hear complaints from people. I listen to people talk from the health issues, doctors and scientists and different people. And they say, they made laws and they protected themselves. They've made no laws. They are no laws. They're repugnant to the Constitution. Therefore, they are null and void. And if people knew that and understood that, we'd be suing these people and getting preventing this from going forward, stopping it in its track, and being restored back to our former being, of all those who have been injured by all of the horrible and terrible things that these people have done. So we have to have knowledge. This book is so important. This is what National Liberty Alliance has been working towards for 12 years, more than 12 years maybe. I know National Liberty Alliance actually came into being, I think it was 2013 if I recall, but we were around longer than that. We were the New York Committee men. Then we became Liberty Alliance, New York Liberty Alliance, and then we became National Liberty Alliance. And but we've been working at this for a long time. We've been writing papers. We've been in the courts. We've been battling. We've posted all of our papers that we have filed in the courts up on our website. Underneath, you'll find it underneath the grand jury. Okay, the action against YouTube, an action against the judiciary. And the indictments that we have gone through over the years. And all this information that we've been taking, putting together, papers writing, research, 12 years of research, and came together in the book, Government by Consent. And I'm working on another book, and we've got four handbooks. I think it's four handbooks. We've got four handbooks that we want to get into print. But again, they are available right now. You can download them free of charge. And again, they will always be there free of charge to be downloaded, because that is knowledge that everyone needs, and it shouldn't be sold. For the convenience of a handbook, a nice binded book, you stick in your top shirt pocket or your pocketbook or whatever, something small, convenient, something for a jurist to carry around with in their shirt pocket or their back pocket as they are in the, you know, doing their work as a jurist. And in their spare time or idling time in the court, they could read through this. As a matter of fact, that book for the jurist will be the very, very education that we will give them in the 8 hours that we have in order to orientate that jury when we take back control of our courts. As Lysander Spooner put it, we either will have trial by government, or we will have trial by the people, where the people make the law. The people decide what is the law and what is not the law. They may decide the law is good for this case, so we'll apply it, or the law is bad for this case, so we're not going to apply it. And of course, that could only be law and equity cases. okay? Or and in a sense, equity cases also would involve anybody who is doing some criminal activity and involved with interstate commerce or something of that nature, where the federal government has the authority and the jurisdiction over. But once that federal government takes an individual and goes after them criminally, they have to come to the grand jury and request to the grand jury for an indictment. And the grand jury says either yay or nay. And to the best that I can understand at this point in time, I no longer believe that a federal court can run a court of law. I believe it needs to be run. They need to bring it to the sheriff in the county where the crime took place, and they can apply the federal law against these individuals because they violated law or in situations where we have given the legislators the authority to write a law on statute. It's called positive law, which is man-made law, not natural law, positive law, but it's man-made law, and it is to run under the rules of the common law. That's the way it was until 1938, when they took it away from us. They took away our Constitution. They took away our common law courts. They took away our rules of common law. But that's where it has to go. It has to go into a state court. It has to go to the sheriff. As a matter of fact, the legislators didn't even write the ability for a U.S. attorney to call forth a grand jury until 1970. So you have to ask yourself the question, what happened before that? Well, obviously, they couldn't perform criminal courts. Now, maybe they did, and they did everything criminally, and they did everything without the authority even of legislation. So I don't have enough information to be able to research that out. But nevertheless, once it goes into a court of law, the people decide. And if it has something to do with equity controlled, but it becomes a criminal thing, once it becomes criminal, it goes into court of law, period. End of subject, nothing else to talk about. And they can apply the statutes and the codes in those cases, but the people can nullify them. The people can deny it. The people can maybe agree with it. And the people can apply their own law. Because we are the laws. We make the laws. We're the lawmakers. We, the people, ordained and established this Constitution for them. We, the people, will ordain and establish the law and justice in the court, which is the way it's supposed to be. Not some political hack judge who's a bar attorney who believes that we're under Roman law and that we're under civil law and that the Constitution has been abrogated and the common law is no longer. That's not the individual. How does a servant come and judge a master? That cannot be. It doesn't even make sense. So the people don't realize this. If they understood these things, if we the people understood these things, they never would have gotten out of control. If we the people can understand these things now in numbers, we can take control. And that's why we must build committees of safety in every single county in America. We must get our sheriffs educated. And if they're not willing to become educated, they're not willing to acknowledge the common law, we need to remove them from office. And we could do that by very simply running papers and recalling the sheriff and bringing forth another vote. Once we recall the sheriff, we do is run the papers, get enough signatures on it, that's all it takes. And as the committees of safety, we can act as the committeemen. Right now, committeemen are acting and doing the job of committeemen, and they're not even elected. So why can't we? Of course, we the people, we don't have to be elected in order to run these papers, in order to take these people out of office. We can just come together in our counties, and if necessary, depending on the case, maybe you want to remove an assemblyman or a senator or something, we can do that right there in our county or county to county, working together, walking the papers and taking these people out of office, and we can indict them once we take our courts back. We can remove them from office by indictment. If a sheriff is breaking the law by not obeying the law, and people are suffering because of that. There's an injury involved. For every injury, there must be a remedy. It becomes a criminal act and a violation of their oath. We have every right, every duty to take that sheriff and arrest them. We can indict them, have them arrested, tried by a jury, and the jury will decide what needs to be done. That's common law. That's a lawful republic, a natural law republic. We need to return to it. We need everyone to get involved. Shame on us. Shame on us. If we have the opportunity to save America and save this republic, shame on us if we don't step up and put our money where our mouths are, our money where we need to put it. Okay? It doesn't matter what condition economically anyone is in. Everyone can save up $50 and get a book out. And I want to tell you, the book, of course, I get cheaper than that. I'm going to take that extra money and we're going to buy more books. We need to get books into the hands of every sheriff in America. And you need to get a book in your hand. And it's not about selling books. It's about getting the truth out. It's about saving this nation. And the money that comes through with this book will benefit the people because it goes right back into National Liberty Alliance. We will build, and we have a lot of other things potentially coming up to hopefully do some things. And again, critical mass is the key. Once we hit critical mass, there'll be a lot of money, and then we're gonna really get people hired here at National Liberty Alliance, where they'll receive certain people who are working. We'll be able to receive a paycheck and put full-time effort into this thing. We need a group of people putting full-time effort into this project to save our republic. We need to get the truth back into our schools. We need to get children with a real education, not the education they have. We need to teach children not what to think. We need to teach children how to think. Children should be able to accomplish their education from grade 1 to grade 9, and at that point in grade 9 have equal to today's college education. It can be done. I know it can be done because I've seen it done in private school. It can be done. I've seen a school, a private school, it's a Christian school not far from me, where they're educating the children. By the time they're in third or fourth grade, they're high school level. They are high school level, third, fourth grade. Okay? Anybody who does homeschooling, they see how fast we can escalate. You know, children could go through the school day for what they're learning out there. They could do it in 2 or 3 hours. And they can do much more complex and much more involved things, understand more things, articulate things more better, being able to communicate better. 10,000 things better, 10,000 times better. So, you know, we have schools that are really, they want to have our children as much time as they can in there so they can, you know, distill them with propaganda. They can brainwash them and make them good communists and comrades, Marxists, Nazis, just destructive, immoral, and so on. All right, anyway, I'm going to be putting out an email soon. As soon as we get this link up, I'm going to be an email out into our entire, membership. Again, we have almost 10,000 members. And I will really be sad if we can't accomplish this 3,000 books inside a couple of weeks. It would be a sad, sad thing. That's where we end up. But you know what? We're going to have critical mass with this because, you know, I'm going to be hitting I'm going to be out there being interviewed on radio, lots of radios and different places, going out to the Patriots, but also getting out into the regular people out there. I'm also trying to get onto, and I know I've mentioned a couple of these things in the past, but mentioned again, it deserves being mentioned over. We have Valuetainment, Patrick from Valuetainment. I don't know how many people, and I'm going to post him up there because this guy really has a lot of great information. And it's not necessarily on the problems that we're looking into, but many, many other problems that we're not looking into that we should be looking into. He does a lot of interviews on a lot of different things, but he's got something like 2.2 million subscribers. And that's huge. You know, when I'm trying to think of the guy's name from McAfee. I think his first name was John also. But when McAfee was interviewed by him, I think it was maybe 2 years ago or a year ago or so, and he got about 1 million hits. But when he died, that thing just went through the roof. He did another 15 or 20 minute thing on on the guy that wrote McAfee, you know, created the McAfee software. And so he's got a lot of people from all walks of life. And I gotta believe that if our membership ain't gonna take on the job of getting the book to the sheriffs, I gotta believe that going after 1 million, 2 million or so people just on one interview to reveal what this book is about and what is potential and what the people need to learn about their heritage, the knowledge of how our government works and how we can have government by consent, then the people coming in new will do it. But it's going to be done, and it needs to be done one way or another. Either way, it's going to give us critical mass, and critical mass will give us more money. If people giving us $5 a month or more, and we get enough people doing that, I mean, look at it. If we had 10,000 people giving us $5 a month or more, that's $50,000 a month. $50,000. What National Liberty Alliance could do with $50,000 a month is amazing. Again, we would have people working full time. I don't have a secretary. Some people think I have a secretary. I don't have a secretary. I'm busy from morning to night. I get up first thing in the morning. I hit my desk and I'm working. Yeah, I run around, do some different things that I have to do in life, but not. Well, I'm here in my desk, and I'm here after dinner. I come right back after dinner. I'll be here another 2 or 3 hours. Sometimes I'll be longer. Sometimes I'll get up at 3 or 4 in the morning, and I'll go to work. And I'm working day and night. And a lot of things I can't do because I am only one person. I only got 2 hands and 1 brain, and that's it. I can only do so much. I'd love to have a secretary or two, maybe a person working in the office to do a lot of working with me and things. If Gerard can give me full time, you know, he's still working to live life, so he's part time with us also. But if he was free and had a salary to be able to do this, it would be huge what we can accomplish. And the people behind the scenes are already working. There's Jan and there's Francine, and I, you know, there's a lot of people that I know. I'll miss their names, so I'm just going to stop there. Because I'm about to be able to name everyone. But there are people that have volunteered a lot of time, have done a lot of work to get things done, what has to be done. We have built a site that is amazing and huge. We have so much information that you did 20 years you couldn't get through all the information that we have put up on our website. That's how much we have in information. And we're putting up more, and we're going to get more. And we're going to stimulate growth. You know, I just this weekend met with an individual here in Dutchess County that works has been working. We've been working together for quite some time, you know, drumming up the Liberty Group here in Dutchess County, New York. And I met with him, and we talked about getting the groups together to get reestablished and re-energized and getting the committees of safety going. I'm going to put the word out and invite people from all over. Anybody who wants to come to that meeting, they come. And we'll be traveling. I think Gerard will be coming with me, maybe another person or two. But we'll be traveling New York State, and maybe we'll hit about 8 or 10 different locations in New York State, people from certain counties and sister counties around. Hopefully, will come, and we'll talk to them and teach them about getting committees of safety. My desire is that within the next 3 months, to have committees of safety in every single county of New York. And if we can find somebody in every state that has that vision, that has that desire, and picks up that weight to do that job to save this nation, then we can move this program in light speed. You know, in 3 to 4 to 6 months, we could have almost, if not every county in America with committees of safety, energizing, working with their sheriffs, taking control of local government, taking control collectively county to county with their state government, taking control state to state of their federal government, making sure that the sheriff is constitutional, that he's applying the law and not the codes, and that he understands the law. And we can him if he doesn't. If he doesn't want to, let's put it that way. Not if he doesn't know. If he doesn't know, he doesn't know. We'll teach him. We'll train him. And if he doesn't want to be taught and he doesn't want to be trained, then we'll can him. We're going to be notifying every sheriff here in America the availability of, the, of these free courses that we have. And, of course, they're going to be getting a book, but they should send their deputies to these courses. They themselves should take these courses. And also the government by consent course. Their sheriff, their deputy should be taking that course also. We need to come together and exchange information county to county and work within our schools. I have been given a lot of serious thought, and I've spoken to Brent about this a while back, and I've given a lot of serious thought about writing textbooks for children from grade 1 all the way to grade 9. And I stop at 9 because I don't think there's a reason for children to go to school further than grade 9 unless they want to become a doctor, a scientist of some kind, an engineer, an architect, some specialty beyond. We should be able to give every child a college education by the time they come to grade 9. I know it can be done. I've seen it done. And we just have to do it and believe and give them real knowledge. You know, these children, they're not learning anything. They're learning, again, to be brainwashed. They're learning what these people want them to think, and again, not how to think. We need to train and teach our children how to think and how to make decisions and how to be a good citizen. And I don't run away from that word, citizen. That word, citizen, I believe it's 7 times in our Constitution. They've taken that word and made it something bad. It's not. So we'll use the words that our founding fathers. They need to become good citizens. They need to understand their heritage. They need to understand and believe and realize that they need to give back the blessings that they receive in a nation, in a common law republic, as such as one as we should have. We don't have a common law republic. Anybody who thinks that we do is deluded. They don't understand what a common law republic is, a natural law republic. And it's a republic that bends their knee to God, one nation under God. That's what our republic is. Without that focus, without that fact, without that realization and a bent knee to the creator of this universe, we can't have liberty. You cannot receive, matter of fact, if you read the Constitution and in the preamble to the Constitution, one of the jobs that we put right into the preamble of the Constitution of government is to secure the blessings of liberty. Right there, we are blessed with liberty. You can't have liberty unless you're blessed with it. Can't happen. We have to be a morally minded people. Our founding fathers told us that. If we're not a morally minded people, this government is good for no people unless they're a morally minded people. And you know, and we have to train our children that way. Our children need to be committeemen at least one time in their lifetime. One time. It's a two-year commitment, but and it's not a lot of time. It's about 40 hours a year. I mean, not a big deal. But you get to decide who's getting onto the ticket, who's getting onto the ballot for the people to vote for. And you represent the people. I mean, that's the key thing. The job is mostly around election time. Coming together and interviewing these people. What more rewarding job can you have than to be involved in interviewing the people that you're going to put into government, okay, to represent you in the areas where we've given them the power and authority to write law in and to exercise their jurisdictions and powers? You know, what greater job than to do that, to be able to make the decision on this, and then let them know when you get in there, buddy, if you violate your oath, and you don't do the job that you're supposed to be doing, we're going to yank you out as fast as we put you in. And at the same time, if you violate the law and people are injured and it's a criminal act, we're going to indict you. So they have to. When a government fears the people, we have liberty. Our founding fathers told us that. When the people fear the government, we have tyranny. And that's where we're at right now. God sent us Donald Trump. You know, I don't think he was much of a Christian at all. I don't believe he was at all. I've listened to Donald Trump for 30 years. I don't believe he was a Christian. He was Christian in name. But I think he's a Christian now. I think he saw the light. If you listen to the words he says, the people he's around, the realization of what he has been put in charge of, To be really a George Washington of our day. We have to realize that if we don't, and I think people here at National Liberty Alliance, I think we do realize that. There's a lot of weight on his shoulders, and he's going to do a lot of great work, and only God could have put this whole thing together. Donald Trump couldn't put this thing together. The military couldn't put this thing together. We, the people, couldn't put this thing together. We were locked down and sealed, and there was no way out. Anybody who really has been, I've been studying this stuff for over 20 years. I've seen the deep state for over 20 years. I see the lockdown that they've got for 20 years. Before that, I was as ignorant as everyone else, of course, but I had my awakening, when they came out after me for taxes. And I woke up and I saw, but by God's blessings and by the grace of God, I've escaped them all the way through these 20 years until I came to the knowledge then, and now they run away from me. Hopefully that'll maintain that way, but in any event, we need to take back this nation, and every single one of us must do this job. Do not expect someone else to do your job. What blessing is it in there for you if you're going to sit back and just ride the wave? What blessing is it for any of our members at National Liberty Alliance? So I really hope that when I send this email out, I try to keep my emails real short when I do send a message. Paragraph or two, keep it short. Because everybody's into that tweet. I really wish everybody would throw those things away. You waste too much time. I refuse to have a smartphone. I just don't have one. I will not have one. I'm not going to participate. Because once you have one, you can't get away from all this texting stuff back and forth. And you feel that you have to answer that. Forget about it. I shut my answering machine off so I don't have to answer to that stuff. Because I got too much going on and I get too many people calling me. And it's just not enough me to do what everybody wants to be done. So I stay focused. And let us not take our eye off the prize. There are a lot of battles out there we'd love to jump into right now. I mean, I'd like to go after Monsanto. I'd like to go after a lot of the pharmaceutical companies. I'd like to go after the a lot of different places, a lot of different things, a lot of medical problems, a lot of food problems, a lot of air problems, a lot of water problems. The things that we depend on to survive, But let's not take our eye off the prize, because we're going to deal with all those issues on the other side, and we're going to deal with them quickly and swiftly. And the people will rise up once we get onto the other side. Again, we have to get that message out. It's up to you to do that. And so let's everybody get going on what has to get going, and let's focus and keep our eye on the prize. Let's not get sidetracked. Yeah, we look at different things, we talk about different things, we try to help out with different things here or there, but we have to stay focused. Our focus is to take down the bar, to take down this destructive, tyrannical judiciary system. It's got to come down. We cannot continue under the bar-controlled courts. There is no justice. And they claim they got rid of common law. They claimed they got rid of common law because they said the common law was unjust. Yeah, they thought it was unjust to them because they don't want to go to jail. See, that's what that's all about. But that's what they said. You go up to the U.S. Supreme Court's webpage, and we've posted that. Matter of fact, we posted in our books here, in our information, when we referenced to the 1934 Rules Enabling Act and 1938 Act of the United States Supreme Court. We referenced that information right on their website as it exists right now. They said that common law was unjust and they had to get rid of it. Think about that. Only the people can save this republic. Jen, do we have any questions?
I have a couple of announcements, John, and we have about
right ahead.
Questions for you. Okay. I put some things in a newsletter for people this week under announcements. The first thing is some downloadable forms for people who are faced with being forced to take the vaccine. And they're called vaccine religious exemptions. You can go click on the links there and you can download the appropriate forms for yourself if you find yourself in that predicament. The second thing is basically, what do you do if the vaccination strike force comes to your door and wants to give you a vaccination? And there's a number of responses there to tell you how to handle that issue. Other than that, I have like three questions if you're ready, John.
Sure, and well, I'd just like to make a note on his vaccine cases. Anybody that has a vaccine case and they don't feel like they're getting anywhere and they got a problem with it, and especially if they're assaulting you with it, you know, you can join your case. You know, we may not get justice now, but eventually we will get justice. I will tell you what I've done with my situation here with vaccines. And I've spoken with my sheriff before on the gun issue when they wanted to take our guns here in New York through the SAFE Act. And my sheriff said he'd be out here and will prevent that from happening should they try to take my weapons. And so I met with an individual, like I said, he has worked with me to build, you know, the county, in our county, Liberty Groups. And he actually, he ran for office in his town and he got elected. And he's just finishing up his second term, and he's running for a third term now. He made a lot of changes in his town, turned a lot of people in a different direction. Sheriff is so has become so constitutional in Dutchess County. It's really, 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 really good to see. I mean, when you walk into my sheriff's office, I mean, he's got patriot stuff all over the place. I mean, he's constitutional from the toes to the head. And I said to my friend, I said, look, when you go see the sheriff, because he's heading over to see the sheriff, you know, during the week. And I got, sent a book over to my sheriff also, Government by Consent, and some other literature and information that I had that would be beneficial to him. And I told him to ask the sheriff what he's going to do, because I'm expecting that if they come, because right now on Friday, this past Friday, the New York Bar met with the legislators, the New York legislators up in Albany. And they had their second meeting today. I mean, that's how fast they're moving. They went from Friday to Monday with the second meeting. And they're working with the legislators to write law to force these vaccines into the people, going door to door, whatever it takes. And my question to the sheriff that I'm expecting an answer from is that when they come to my house, as Gerard has said in the past, when they come to my house, put a needle into my arm, my guns go out the window. And I'm calling you. I'm going to call my sheriff. Are you going to come? And that's the answer I'm waiting to hear from. Because that's the end of it. I want to tell you, it's a death penalty. They're coming to kill you is what they're trying to do. This videos I'm going to put up as soon as I possibly can. I'm going to put these videos up on underneath the reality check. And it'll be a news, again, I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to call this particular page, but it'll have a lot of information. But I'll have some videos on it. And one of the there are two videos I'm going to really put a focus on, too. And one is the video done on these vaccines and different what's going on, done by Amazing Polly. And the other one is the video that was sent to me just today by an individual, which is question number three, I think, that Jan's going to be asking. And those two videos, if that doesn't scare you to death, nothing will, okay? If that doesn't put you to a point to say, not me, not my arm, not my children, not my spouse, it ain't going to happen, I'll just die right here where I'm at. I'm telling you, I believe anybody that, and I'm not the bravest guy in the world, and I'm not claiming to be. But I'll tell you, I agree with Patrick Henry at this point. Give me liberty or give me death. I want life or give me death. You know, I'm not going to live as a soft robot to these people, to be controlled by this evil. I'm just not going to do it. So, anyway, I am awaiting my sheriff's answer, and I already know the answer. He's not going to permit it. my sheriff is becoming educated. He already is educated, and now he's going to get more educated with the book I gave him. The question is, what are you going to do? You know, if you think you're going to fight these people without your sheriff, you've got a chance to win with your sheriff. Because no one's going to go up against the sheriff. No cop is going to go up against the sheriff. No agent of any kind, even a federal agent, is not going up against the sheriff. And especially when that sheriff is working with other sheriffs. And I know from my last conversation with my sheriff here in Dutchess County, he has gotten together with all the sheriffs across this state, with the exception of one or two of them that didn't show up. But everyone else, okay, they're in one accord. We're going to protect the people's rights. We're going to protect the people's guns. We're not going to take the people's guns, and we're not going to let the government take it from them. So they are working together here in New York to some degree, but they need more knowledge. They need more. They're not knowledgeable. I mean, my sheriff is, of course, but most of the sheriffs in New York are not knowledgeable, and I intend on getting a book in the hands of every one of my sheriffs in New York State, and to get the word out to every county in New York State, to get their committees of safety going. And that's what you need to do. Get together with other people and get this going in your county. Get the committees of safety. Get your sheriffs educated. Let's save this nation. Because the job is up to you. It's not up to Trump. It's not up to the military. It's up to you. Second question. Or first, what's the questions?
Okay.
Actually, that was one of the questions. That was question number three, because I saw them earlier today. But go ahead.
Okay. I keep hearing about the Biden administration possibly wanting to go to war, like many past administrations, and have heard about a possible reinstating of the draft. This draft would also include women. I myself am reluctant to be forced to fight a bank-initiated illegitimate war. The president does not have the authority to declare war, and several conditions must be met before the Congress can even declare war. What does the Constitution say about military drafts for foreign wars? Would this be considered an unconstitutional draft if implemented? Have there been unconstitutional drafts in our past? Your comments, please.
Well, that is an interesting question. It's a good question, and I will tell you that our founding fathers did not have a draft. Everything was voluntary, and they only had a three-month commitment. They went in for 3 months, or maybe it was 6 months. I don't remember what I read, but you could read about that in The Making of America. They only went in for 3 to 6 months, and they were able to leave after that. Their commitment was only that long. I think it was 6 months. But many of them just kept upping and upping and upping, continuing through the process, and other people joined in. Look, either liberty is worth fighting for, it's not. Number one, how dare... I mean, that's how degenerate we have become. How dare they think that they can come and take our daughters and put a gun in the hands of our daughters to protect this nation? I mean, they've been working towards this craziness for a long, long time. You know, my wife doesn't work. When we got married, I was insistent that she shouldn't work. She should stay home and take care of the kids. You go to work if we don't have kids. But we have kids right away. So, I mean, stay home and take care of the kids, and I'll go out and do what has to be done to make sure that this is, you know, we have what we need. And that's the way my parents were and their parents were here. But we have become a society where both parents have to work because they just don't make enough money. You know, the inflation is so bad and so on and so forth. But anyway, I did hear about this. I was listening to, as a matter of fact, I was listening to the debate in Congress, a lot of the individuals talking about this and their daughters going to war and stuff. And they even said the same thing that I'm going to say, and, well, I guess I'm repeating what they say, but it was so obvious to me anyway. You know, they're going to claim, and they are claiming, oh, well, we don't have an implemented, the draft right now anyway, so don't worry about it. You know, they're preparing for implementing the draft. That's what they're doing. And I don't believe in the draft. I don't believe the draft. Look, when World War II came about, all right, many, many, many people volunteered, okay? If there's a good reason, we're going to volunteer.
David, I'm sorry.
So we're going to volunteer. I don't believe we need a draft to begin with for anyone. But, you know, the problem is by the way, got to mute up there. Let me see if I can mute up. There's no reason to have a draft, but if there's going to be a war, Look, the Vietnam War was not a righteous war. Matter of fact, none of the wars that we've been involved with in the past 150 years, I think, is not a good war. And it's really a corporate wars and deep state. It's all about money and power and changing people. As a matter of fact, we do have evidence. Anybody who's listened to the Griffin documentaries, and we have all the Griffin's documentaries on our website, by the way. You can watch every one of them. We have them all. Matter of fact, we have most of them. We have in one of our courses, our civics course. You can see a lot of the Griffin documentaries. And we got the information, as a matter of fact, I'm trying to think of the guy's name. What was his name? I guess it's not that important, but he did an interview. He was chosen as a lead investigator for the Reese Committee, and he did an investigation on these different trusts, and he discovered in them that World War I was planned for the main idea is to change the minds of the people, and World War II really was a move for the New World Order to take control. And by the way, people don't realize this. We lost World War II. We may think we won it, but we lost it. We were totally, by the end of World War II, our country was totally infiltrated by Nazis, and now by commies, by the China, Chinese. I mean, China runs a lot of our government, controls a lot of our government, in state level and federal level. People don't understand. They don't realize that. They don't see it. It's covert, so they're not seeing it. It's being revealed now. It's going to become it's becoming overt, but it has been done covertly. And ultimately, the war has been going on since the Revolutionary War. That war has not ended. The king had put forth an agreement with the Pope to destroy America, to destroy our economic system, to destroy our political system, to destroy even us morally. And our judicial system, and they have accomplished it. They created the Bar Association for that very purpose. It was created in England, in Britain, back, I think it was 1760, very early, very not too much earlier than 1776 when we went through this, but in 1750, I think it was 1750, roughly, they created the Bar, was operating in Britain, through the king, ultimately, in order to take away the common law that they had been beaten to heck for 100 years prior to that, okay? And but there is still memory of the people of, you know, the Magna Carta and the liberty that they should have and could have, and they're waking up, too, you know? And the American Bar Association was planted here in the United States by the British Bar. It's all part and parcel, one and the same. We have been under assault for over 250 years. When we were back as a colony, we were being under assault. Our founding fathers were battling the same thing we're battling right now. An out-of-control government, out-of-control process altogether. The good thing that they had is the people controlled the courts in the colonies. And that's the problem that they had here in America. But today, we don't control the courts. We have a major problem. They want to put someone in jail and find them guilty. They're going to accomplish that goal. Anyway, I might have got off track there. Did I answer the question?
Yeah, I want to add something. That was the Reese Commission, and that was Dodd.
Norman Dodd. Thank you.
Norman Dodd. And, you know, the Third Reich never went away. Operation Paperclip brought all those crazy Nazi eugenics people here, and that the Bushes are part of that. That's what's operating in this COVID scandal, because it's designed to do eugenics and get rid of most of the world's population. That's what's come to a head now. That's what we're living now, right now. So there's nothing new under the sun, and none of that stuff ever went away, and it's all in the big corporations. Those are companies that were in Germany, who was it that said that? Oh, the Heimlich Fulmer. We should post this BitChute thing of the
video?
The lawsuit.
Is that the video?
Yes.
Okay, that's the problem I'm having. I don't know how to embed BitChute video. I get so many great videos on BitChute that people need to see, and I'd love to post them, but I don't know how to, I can't do it. I'm waiting to get word on how to do that, and as soon as I do, I'm going to get, there's so many videos I want to post. But yeah, well, let me know and we'll post
it. The least we could do is get the URL out to them, even in the newsletter, they could go look at it.
That's true. That's true.
You know what
Jan
I mean?
Can do that. If you get that information to Jan, but get it to me too, because eventually I'll get it up there.
Right. Know? So that's a very, that video, that he says, there is no COVID, there is no variant, it's all a lie. You got to listen to it. And that, and that's that doctor, what's his name, Martin, and the German lawyer that sued Deutsche Bank and Volkswagen. And let me tell you what, he didn't realize how bad it was. You listen to this video, and he says, he's got a couple of good videos out. He said, I can't believe, he said, you know, I used to go hobnobbing with my other lawyer friends. He said, I'll never do that again. What a waste of time, the dinners I went to. Meanwhile, they took over the world when we weren't watching.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Absolutely.
So, anyway, I just wanted to add that because this, you know, Amazing Polly tracks a lot of that stuff back to its roots. She's very good at that. And, mm-hmm. And of course, now you have these other people coming out. He's got something like 1,000 lawyers and 500, you know, technicians and PhDs and epidemiologists with him that are going to testify, and he wants to do a Nuremberg-style court, he said, because this is international. It's world over. So, and I think you're going to see this stuff come to a head this summer. So hold on to your hats, because it's going to get pretty wild out there.
We don't wear hats no more, though.
Yeah, well,
used to be. You go back, look in the 20s and the 30s, and everybody wore a hat, you know?
Right.
40s and the 50s. It started to fall away, I guess, in the 50s and early 60s.
Yep.
But
anyway, I'll
yeah, I'll be passing the mic to you anyway in a few minutes.
Yeah.
So. Okay, Jan, anything else? Terry?
I want to emphasize that if anybody starts doing anything, and it sounds like we're coming to that point, record it. Everybody's got a smartphone. Record it. And record it horizontally, not up and down. And that is going to be our communication to the rest of the world. That's all. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Terry.
Oh, and the other thing is look, at they're not going to go door-to-door. That's the last thing. That's after we're already beat, John.
Yeah, I know.
They're going to tell you you've got
to... They're not going to get to that point. I know
no,
things... Look, Trump is not going to allow it to come to that point.
That's one
of the main lines to be crossed.
They're going to tell you you can't go shopping. They're going to tell you you can't do this, you can't do that. That's what their plan is. But I don't think they're going to be able to implement it because, look, at you got all of Europe and Australia, all of them just past weekend. Of course, the news won't show it. Millions upon millions of people simultaneously in the street, and they don't even know how they did it because they got them so locked down, and they got their media locked down, and yet the word went out. I think it was word of mouth. And maybe they used ham radio. I don't know. But they're baffled that all these people on three continents, the only ones that are not in the streets are the stupid Americans.
Well, Trump told us to mellow out to some degree, but we are to look at. We forget about getting in the streets. Let's get educated and let's take back our courts. Let's get committees of safety, and then if we don't ever have to get into the streets. And once you get a committee of safety going and the word gets out in your county and someone has a problem, they say, hey, you know, why don't you go talk to the committee of safety, because they deal with problems. You know, that's going to grow and grow and grow and grow, and then we will have government by consent. Until that happens, we will never have government by consent. I don't even think we need the committee man process. I don't even think we need to have the elected committee man. I think we, the people, just become the committee man, period. And we got the power to do it. We got the power to recall. We just go out and do the proper paperwork for that. We'll teach you that. We do teach you that on National Liberty Alliance. We just don't talk much about it. But we will be focusing more in on that as time goes on, how to recall people from office, how to interview the people. You know, once we become a strong enough block, okay, they understand that they're not getting on the ballot unless they come talk to we the people. That's when we've taken control, when that happens. And obedience will only be at that point in time. And until then, they're going to do whatever the heck they please. Jan, any other questions or any other thing we need to cover?
Yes, I have three more.
We're done? You have three more?
Yep.
Oh,
the next one.
But people get them in, send them in as we're talking, or what?
No, I picked up one, and I had, I guess, three to start with.
All right.
In states where the county sheriff is appointed and not elected by the people, we should contact the state or states and urge the state to change the name of the sheriff to the county police or county government servant or something in that order, in order to uphold the name of the county sheriff. Any comments?
Well, yeah. You know, again, we have to stay focused. We have to win the court back. That's our key focus, is winning that court back and building committees of safety and educating the people. That is our primary goals. And with that, we take it all. We take the whole Monopoly board. We take it all back. And we're very much aware of the places where there are no sheriffs that are elected. We know Connecticut has 8 counties, and they have no elected sheriff. Okay?
I don't even think they call themselves sheriffs, though.
Well, there is some states that
do.
No, there are some states that, look at New York City has one sheriff, I think. I don't know if they have 5. I think they just have one. And they call them a sheriff, and he's appointed by the mayor. Okay? We have Westchester County. I'm not sure who appoints that one, but he's not, and he's called a sheriff, but he's not a sheriff. He's not elected. We have one county in Long Island. I think it's Suffolk County that doesn't have a sheriff. Well, no, Nassau County, I think it is, doesn't have a sheriff. I'm not sure, again, the county, someone in the county appoints that person, and they call him a sheriff. We don't have sheriffs at all, and no named sheriffs in Alaska, but we should.
We should be out there arresting them, citizens arrest for impersonating a sheriff.
Right. They don't even know. Look, they're as lost as anyone else. What we need to do is very simple. I know exactly what needs to be done, and that is to go sue them back into office. And I'm not talking about suits that take 10 years. Look, we're supposed to have speedy trials. This is an emergency, and it's up to we the people. We the people control the courts. The government doesn't control our courts of law. The courts of law are there for two purposes. Equity courts, where the government holds court, and for equity situations, which is dealing with commercial activities and government activities. And that's it. But there's also the court of law. And if we, the people, take control of that court of law, we bring it before ourselves to say what we got to do. And we bring this situation into court. We go to Connecticut, and we bring these counties into court. We bring the state into the court. And we performed. There's no need to put it off for 10 years. What research do we need? We're going to deal with a constitutional issue. Bone up and get ready if you want to make an argument against us. But we go into the court, and in one day the case should be solved. It shouldn't be any long-term thing. There's not much to it. The Constitution, the common law requires a constitutional officer of law. It requires it. You can't have constitutional law without a law enforcer. And the sheriff is it. He's the only true law enforcer in the state, in the entire United States. It's the sheriff. He's the guy. Okay? So it's a no-brainer. We can force, and we can. I already know the arguments in Connecticut on what they went through. I've already been through the argument. I know exactly how we can win that case in hands down quickly. New York City, same way. Westchester County, same way. Long Island, same way. Alaska, same way. In no time, we can put sheriffs back into power and authority. They can have their state police and do what they want, but we're not going to fund them. We shouldn't be funding them. And I'm sure there is a need for state police, but there definitely is no need for many of the police forces we have. Even the city police. New York City is a huge place. Each one of these counties have almost 1 million people, and Long Island's the same way. Matter of fact, one of the counties I think have over, between them, they definitely, the two counties out in Long Island definitely have well over 1 million people. But altogether, it's like 9 million or 10 million or close to 10 million people. It's 9 million plus people in just down in New York City and Long Island. But look at, why should we be funding the police department when we can be funding the sheriffs? There's so much that can be done, and we can do it very, very quickly. Once the people take control, we can do it quickly. As a matter of fact, they'll start correcting things before we even get to it, because the people that are in office that remain will start doing the right thing, and we'll let them know what they need to do legislatively. We'll let know the governors what they need to be doing. Again, now this is a lot of work we're talking about, and that's why we need money. We need money. And again, critical mass will give us money. Or if someone's got deep pockets, we can get money. You know, there are people with enough money that have spent. Look, we've got a guy. There's a guy down that built the. I don't remember how many miles of wall. I think it was 1 mile or something. So much wall, and spent so many millions, 30 million or something. I don't know what, something like that, out of his own money, because he wanted the borders to be sealed up and for our borders to be safe. And people who have money like that, hopefully they'll, when they hear about us, hopefully they will hear about us, and they'll say, hey, write a check and we'll send out books to all 3,000 sheriffs overnight. But let's not count on that. We the people, and you know what? We need books to a lot more people than sheriffs. If we get through the sheriffs very quickly, we'll take the books that are over, and we'll start getting it to specific individuals, okay, in government that need to have these books. Whoever's left on the Supreme Court, who's ever left in the judiciary, who's ever left as a governor, who's ever left on the legislatures. And we have to push, you know, a big job that we have to do is the 17th Amendment problem. We have to restore the balance of power that was destroyed by the 17th Amendment, that by taking the power away from the states. The states are impotent. They have no power. They have no authority. They have no say in what goes on in federal government at all. They used to control the Senate, but they don't, and they haven't been for over 100 years. And we need to restore that. We need to get rid of the 16th Amendment. It's a slave tax. We need to get rid of the tax on our property. We own it. People don't know that money is not going to help us. That's going to fund the deep state. When are we going to wake up? All that money that you pay into income tax does nothing for we the people. Now, all it does is it brings us further into slavery. It's a slave tax to begin with, and it pays for us to go deeper into slavery so we can support the deep state. Same thing with our taxes on our homes, our property, okay? Don't think it's going to put roads. Don't think it's doing anything for your schools. It's doing none of that stuff. And if you have to pay a tax on your home every single year, okay, are the people that far off of logic and common sense to realize, well, then you don't own your home? That home is not yours. You don't own it. But you're going to lose it from, and no less with non-judicial foreclosures. Okay, there is no justice in our courts. We people are the only ones that can return justice into our courts. And by the way, the military and Donald Trump and anybody else and any people in government that is good, that's going to try to restore this nation, they cannot put justice back into the courts. Only we the people can do that. Only we the people. And if we fail to do that and to take control of our political process to decide who's going onto the ballots, if we fail to do those things, if we fail to build our committees of safety, to restructure our militia, and to bring our counties together, to come together as a people on the issues that are national, if we fail to do that, we fail to save the republic. It doesn't matter what else happens. It just doesn't matter. It's a matter of time. It will be degraded and destroyed. We will, and we will not have government by consent unless we do those things. And we will not have the blessings of liberty if God refuses to bless us. If we don't deserve that blessing, why would he bless us? You know, generally speaking, as a whole, we don't deserve it. But God's people, who has a bent knee, who this nation was created by and is responsible to make sure this brings back to this issue, if those people who are called by his name shall humble themselves and pray, he promised he would heal their land and restore them. And that's where we need to be. Okay. I guess that's all I got to say about those things. Are we done, Jen, or is there more?
No, I have two more.
Okay.
This one, next one, is just made for you, John. It's about the government by consent book.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, can you tell me how this book will help me in any way? What is the difference between this book and any other law book?
First of all, it is a true law book. Any other law book is a civil law book, has nothing to do with anything we do. That's number one. Number two, it's going to tell you the things that you don't know. If people knew this, If people knew what is in this book, we would not be in this situation or condition where we're at today. That's clear as a bell, period. I will tell you, and I challenge anyone, to find me a place that has the things in this book where we can go and find and become educated. Even there are places, there's some great places that got a lot of great information, a lot of great books. NCCS, what is that? The National Center for Constitutional Studies. NCCS. You want to get great books? You want to get the real Thomas Jefferson, the real George Washington, the real Benjamin Franklin, the Making of America. You want to get books, the 500-year leap, books that will open your mind and bring you to a realization and an understanding of a lot of who we are. But even that fails. It doesn't go all the way. It doesn't give natural law unadulterated. This book gives natural law unadulterated. And unless we have natural law unadulterated, we will not, cannot ever have a republic that is a natural law republic. It's an impossibility. You can't have it. Okay? So they do fail in that one area. And look at a lot of great people with a lot of great knowledge and trying to do a lot of good things. They fail in that area because it was never introduced to them. Jefferson spent his life. He spent our founding fathers researching this stuff, bringing it together. This is not something that you just fall upon. This is not something that you can dream in your own mind. This is research of the great minds, of the great awakening, 100 years or so before our founding fathers. There was a great awakening. And when our founding fathers rediscovered what a lot of those people were talking about and took it even deeper, because that's what Jefferson did, went even deeper, that was the second great awakening. And I do believe in my heart and my soul that if the people truly respond, and I think they're going to because of Isaiah 14, if they respond and God restores them and blesses our land with liberty again and protects this nation, one nation under God, indivisible, and we become that again, okay, nothing will be able to destroy us. Nothing will ever be able to defeat us. And we will then have government by consent, and we truly will have the blessings of liberty, true liberty, unadulterated liberty, okay? Look, at common law will take care of the problematic people, okay? We don't have to listen to the lies of the bar attorneys and the courts and all those things. We don't have to listen to those lies, okay? So this book is unlike any other book. I've never seen a book like this before. I'm not aware of a book like this. I'm not aware of a website that puts this information out. I'm not aware of any organization that has put this information out. National Liberty Alliance is unique, 100% totally unique. And it should become common knowledge. It is uncommon knowledge at this point, and it needs to become common knowledge. And if it doesn't become common knowledge, then woe is us, and we lose. Any other question, Jim?
Yes, the last question is, why do I keep hearing about getting people elected to corporate office when that is a dead horse? Why keep beating a dead horse?
Well, again, it is part of the process. They've stole it from us. We're stuck in a box. We're captured. We're cattle. They deal with us as chattel, livestock. But we need to break out of that. That's what we're doing. We don't want to destroy the system. Look at the United States of America, the structure, the halls of justice, the halls where justice should be. Okay, everything is still there and still intact. We just have to undo a couple of things that they did to destroy our Constitution. We have to make it clear to get rid of these people and make it clear to those who take office. We're not asking you to debate our Constitution, our unalienable rights, and to try to debate laws to control we. We're not interested in it. We didn't ask you to do that. Do your job, and that's it. Stop talking about it. You see, politics is all about one side going up against the other side. And the whole thing is a game, and behind that there's the puppet masters who control both sides, because every time the one side gets a little bit further and gets more power towards ultimately the powers behind the power, okay, then the other side comes up, they get, and it looks like it's something that's right and good, and you're making a good argument, and they play with your, they pull your emotional strings and all this other stuff, and they put out their narrative, and they create what they claim is, you know, positive things like the right to choose. But you don't have the right to choose whether they put a needle in your arm, but you have the right to choose to kill a kid in the body. Matter of fact, they've moved it to the point where the child could be half-born in some place, and you can kill the child on the way out. They're trying to move it to when it may even be somewhere already where the child, you know, maybe a month into the game and the kid's in the world for a month, hey, we don't want the kid, and you kill him then. Look, this is insane. But we are no longer a people of God if we continue to allow this kind of thing. We have to step up and we have to do something. We have to do it now. There is no time. The call is out. The call to arms is out. And I'm not talking about literal physical weapons or anything. I'm talking about the call to arms to the Constitution, the call to arms to education, the call to arms to bring your sheriff under the knowledge of the Constitution, the call to arms to get involved with what we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance and to get involved in your county. It's the call now. Don't fail the call. And we need to get this out to the people, all of our membership, and be prepared to meet the critical mass that I believe is about upon us. So that's where we're at. Did I answer the question? Because I know I got a little lost there.
Yeah, and that was the last question, John.
All right. Okay, with that, Gerard, I'm going to pass things to you. We'll look for Brent first, and we'll invite him to speak. Brent, are you here? And then you'll take it from there. You'll take the controls, okay? Now?
Yeah.
Gerard? Okay. Is Brent here? Terry, have you seen if Brent was here yet?
I haven't seen him yet, John.
Okay. All right. Well, when Brent comes in, you can talk with him, Gerard. Anybody that wants to get into the queue, we only have one person in the queue right now, so any questions, comments, or anything, feel free to hit star 6 and then a 1 and get into our queue. Any questions, any comments, we're open for corrections also. So you got, Gerard, you got the mic and the board. I hope, Gerard, you're muted. I can sing a song. I'm tone deaf, though. Gerard, are you still with us? Looks like he fell off. Well, he fell out of the what do you call it? Gerard? All right, well, until Gerard gets back,
I was muted.
Okay.
That screen goes behind all the other screens I was looking at.
All right, well, we've got a couple people in the queue now, and anybody else wants to get into the queue, star 6 and a 1, and questions, comments, go right ahead. Gerard, you got the board, and you got the mic.
Okay. Well, we got Charlotte. Charlotte, it looks like, from North Carolina. I'm going to unmute you. Go ahead. You've been unmuted.
Yeah, this is Dan Stanley. You folks hear me?
Hey, Dan, what are you doing?
I have just really sat back and enjoyed every word tonight. It's been one word leads into so much comprehensive and clarity, and we really had a good call so far from the very beginning, and I just wanted to comment that and we want to encourage everyone to get this book, Government by Consent, and share this out. Let me tell you, folks, it isn't but a dollar. There's 52 weeks, okay, and it isn't but a dollar that you would really, you throw away by running a car somewhere or another and letting it run and run and run. And, you know, think in terms of saving up that little bit of petrol or whatever and pay it forward. You are investing in our future kids to become educated. And not only the immediate families, this is for, you know, we're having to battle cyber attacks and all kind of stuff. The people need to wake up and start taking control, love their family, and by loving their family, become educated and take advantage of the unbelievable work that has been put into this book and knowledge. You know, I'll just close here. In Hosea, I believe it is, it says plainly that my people perish for lack of knowledge. This is insane. If we keep on doing the same old things that we've been doing, that's what's happened to this nation. And this is what Mr. Gerard, and Mr. John and others too as well, Brent, Alan Winters and many other parties that come on here. We need to take control of our destiny and love our neighbor. Share a book to our neighbor. You'll be surprised. You know, they tell me that when someone frowns, the muscles that they use in their face versus a great smile, or helping a, let me say this, helping an elder person take out the time to get them across the street or something. You have no clue what this does for the kindness of that individual. That is agape love. And we need to learn more about agape love, right down to being the kind of neighbor that we need to be. And we can be all the neighbors all across in, how many is it, Mr. John Trash? 3,000, let's see, what is it, how many counties?
Like 3,152 or something.
Somewhere along in there. And, guys, we can be neighbor to neighbor if we just go from one neighbor right there in our immediate area, and then that neighbor goes to the next individual. We're linked up. Folks, do yourself a favor. There's a lot of sweat equity that's gone in this book. And I had some people, I'm not going to go into that, but I am convinced, and I'm going to absolutely push those people, that if they want to be on my team, they're going to have to learn some things that they should have had in college. It needs to be on every curriculum in high school. I have a sort of several degrees in a sense, and one of them is education to teach. I taught when I came out of my college to my actual hometown, alma mater, so to speak. And guys, rest assured that we always, when we speak to another neighbor and we share something a little bit with them that they didn't aware, you're teaching someone else something they didn't know, no matter what the subject matter is. It may be about the weather. It may be about what's going on with our government. Folks, let's encourage people to come on National Liberty Alliance. They're not going to get this nowhere else like National Liberty Alliance. Yes, Dan Stanlin is very prejudiced. I don't believe in prejudice as far as racism. I don't believe in none of that stuff. But I am prejudiced or an advocate for you people to spread this word. There has been a lot of sweat equity that's gone in this book. And the guys I'm speaking to right now deserve all the credit. Not Dan Stanlin. I didn't write not one sentence. But I'll tell you one thing, I wished I was there. And this is why I am trying to be here for everybody that we can. And let's get our neighbors before this sound of the umbrella of the information that is under this National Liberty Alliance, their umbrella. To reach out and encourage people. Sure, we're going to have to do a little bit more with emailing and that kind of thing. Well, that's kind of enough here for me to say. But I can tell you this. I had the pleasure to speak with Mr. Brent Alan Winters. I can't wait to hear this man every Monday night. And John Durash and Gerard, no matter who they interview, it's refreshing. You won't get this kind of conversation, at anywhere else. I mean, it is well planned, well organized, and it is definitive. It's the truth. If you folks want to do good for your neighbors, tell them it's time they change and get on a channel where they can not only be able to get in the queue and comment, but they also can learn. I don't never come on National Liberty Alliance, never, without leaving away from there being blessed. And it's blessed because these guys that are behind National, I'm closing right here, they put their heart into this. There's no question about it. When you have an individual around you that loves their neighbors thyself, that is the epitome of what our Heavenly Father intends for us. And for us to learn more about common law is absolutely getting closer to our Creator for what we need to be shoulder to shoulder for defense in this nation. And it becomes back to Hosea. If you don't understand that, that's a living word in that Bible. It will never die. And Hosea says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Do yourself a favor. Save up a few extra coins. Whatever it takes, let's get a few extra effort here. It will not hurt you. It's better to give, folks. This is one of the real strong royal laws. It's better to give than receive. And I'm telling you, I didn't write that, but it's by our Creator's inspiration, and it's back to where He gave inspiration to our framers. Folks, this is horse sense. This is what this nation was, why it's the greatest nation, why it's blessed. Like Mr. John speaks about the people of Israel, etc. I don't go any further than this. Remember about what Hosea says. He says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Don't keep on doing the same old thing. This is what's got this nation in trouble. Put on, the helmet of truth. There's certain areas in there. Strap up your boots. Get in the ditches and the clinches. And in doing so, you will be so blessed and a happier person when you take that little extra effort and have done something good. Remember that thing about the smiling and versus frowning? Less wear and tear on the face is the smile. More wear and tear is to have a chip on your shoulders. Get rid of it. Get rid of that static claim that might be there in your, somewhere or another in your crawl, okay, or somewhere in your house, you know, and start loving your family and love, and so doing, loving your, loving your neighbor as thyself. And I try to strive. I'm close right here. My motto, which I can't change the scriptures, don't get me wrong. That would be a very serious situation here. But I strive to love my neighbor greater than myself. If you think that, I'm not kidding you about that at all. But the truth of the matter is, our Heavenly Father and Creator merely does things balanced. It's called moderation. And your food, your thinking, and who you're doing, and what you put into your cerebellum and cerebrum in there, it becomes you. So if you want to change America, you have to go inside. This is what Tony, whatever the guy's name is, Roberts or whatever his name is, this man and many others will tell you these kind of things. Napoleon Hill. Get some books there of some people that absolutely have been proven. Andrew Carnegie. I've said enough. I'm saying right now, this book by Mr. John DeRash and his team is absolutely up to those kind of people I just met that are legendary and well thought of. This man will go down in history for his unbelievable sharing and caring for humanity, along with Gerard and along with Brent Allen Winters and countless other people. I know I've gone a little lengthy here, but I just hope everyone will take heed and let's get those monies in there to get this book and get it to some of the educators carry it to a university. Get some deans to see this book. Say, look here, this book needs to be on your curriculum. I guess that's enough right there. And I appreciate you guys. That's my 10 cents worth tonight.
Okay, thanks, Dan. Appreciate
it. I'll turn it back to you guys.
Thank you.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
Okay. I just want to say, you know, we talk about, you know, local levels and taking back your county and stuff, and I want to tell you who figured it out. The New World Order figured it out, because it's a fact that George Soros funded the sheriff's fight in Arpaio County. He put like $2 million up for that guy to make sure that he had a sheriff there that would not stop, that would not enforce, you know, the elections, because they had fraud there. And all it took, all we needed is a couple of good sheriffs in these different counties in these different states, and this whole election fraud would have been done. But they didn't do their jobs, and the reason they didn't do their jobs is because that's who people like George Soros and the Communist Chinese Party and all these New World Order people are concentrating on, because they know that's where the power is in the counties. And even this whole COVID scam, what do? They take away our right to assemble. We are afraid of the people assembling. Well, their lie is crumbling around them right now. They're desperate. And we have to keep that going through education and through getting it out there. Look at the people are looking for leaders. You have to stand up and just say it. If you know, the truth prevails as long as somebody proclaims it. And that's our job. Our job is to proclaim it. You know, I go out in the store, I proclaim it in the grocery line. I don't care who listens to me. I usually can hit, you know, 5, 10, sometimes 20 people, because I talk, I got a loud voice, and I talk and I don't hold back. And I'll tell you what, once in a while somebody gets ticked off because they're so vested in this system and they so believe it, and it's like pulling the rug out from under their feet. But most people are fed up and they just don't know what to do about it, and they're afraid. They got everybody afraid to say anything. That is not being an American. Anyway, I got there's only one person in the queue, so I got Amy that I'm going to unmute here in a second. Hang on, what does this say? Brent just texted me and asked for the phone number, but okay, so
he won't be on the call tonight.
Oh, okay. So the connection is so poor that he will not be on. So he's giving us a heads up. Okay. All right. So Brent's not coming in. So we'll have more time for any questions and hopefully answers. But I'm going to go ahead and unmute Amy. And in the meantime, if anybody else wants to get in, they can get in. I might do some share screening of these URLs that everybody should be passing to everybody, because that's what this battle is. You talk about digital warriors, keyboard warriors. This is what it's about. Look at, they've about locked down everything. They've made YouTube useless. The censorship is horrible. You know, Facebook runs Messenger. Man, I put something on Messenger that's controversial, it goes off almost immediately. They block it. And if I do it too many times, they say, you can't post for 24 hours. You know, they put you in the corner, you know. But I don't even bother too much with that, you know. But if everybody was doing it, they can't catch everybody. One of the tricks on Facebook is you go into the conversations that people are having and insert your stuff and insert, you know, the different websites and stuff. And it takes them a while to catch them, it seems like to me. I've done that before, break into the middle of a discussion and put my two cents in. And even these are even people that I went to school with years ago and are friends with me, and basically they never call me, they never listen to me, but I put the stuff in their sites and I make some trouble, but it gets it out there, you know what I mean? And you'd be surprised how many people you can hit just by getting it out there. You don't know what the result of that's going to be. But let me get to Amy here. Amy, you've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Okay. Hi. So My question is about, like, if I wanted to get the book and give it to my sheriff, you said there's only one sheriff for New York City, but I went to the website and, like you said, he's appointed by the mayor, it looks like. It looked like a captured operation, like not, like, yeah.
Yeah, there's only one sheriff, and they are appointed, and I think by the mayor. And, of course, if when you get into Long Island, they have sheriffs. Once you get out of the five boroughs, it's a different story. I think there's one county in Long Island that appoints them to now. But, you know, like Connecticut, there's no sheriffs in Connecticut. And they unconstitutionally got rid of them. They floated a referendum and had the people vote on it. Well, you can't float a referendum to get rid of a constitutional position. That's like saying we'll no longer have the office of president. Let's put it to a vote. No, it don't work like that. You can't change. Look, at those things are based on the laws of nature and nature's God, and there's a certain order there. So you can never take power away from the people. You can expand their power, but you can't take it away. And so that's just a maxim, a rule of law that we're supposed to live by, and we're too stupid to understand. You know, look at this. This is a republic. It's not a democracy. It's not mob rule. If I don't care if everybody wants it except for one person, and it's unconstitutional, it doesn't fly. It doesn't fly. It goes
so
against.
What could we do in New York? Like, as the resident of New York
City,
what
can we do? Well, the people that are living there should be protesting about it. They should put them back on the ballot. It's not a big deal. I don't think they can stop you, you know?
So is protesting the best way? Because I notice, like, when I write all my
Like, protesting is not going to do anything to bring the sheriff back in. They don't care. You can get in the streets. But if you could get signatures and you could get petitions, there are processes to override that stuff. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And basically, you know, if we had our common law grand juries in, we can indict them. We could run a case, but we don't have that. And the only other way is if the people all amass and petition the government for redress. And, you know, the one thing the government is afraid of, and the one thing that they listen to, is when the people amass, because that's the one thing they don't have control over. So there is power in numbers, you know, if you can get a bunch of people. And you know what? It's easier to do county by county and town by – look, government, all government is local. So I don't care what New York State says as far as – I mean, the state has more power than the federal government. But each little town and each county has the power of the people. There's something called in New York State, and I think it holds true in every state, they call it the home rule law. When the local people put a law in, it has as much power as if the legislatures did it for the state. So you got to remember that. So you can come in and you could run a resolution in your town. And basically, I mean, how many towns have said, we're not going to follow the COVID thing? There's not a thing they can do about it because they don't have the power to override the people when they take their rightful place, government by consent, they cannot resist them. See, so and we've seen it. We've seen certain counties go, oh no, we're not following that, and the federal government and the local government and the state government, they have no choice but to follow that, because that's the will of the people by consent. So that's one thing we can do. We can run resolutions through our counties and our towns. That's one way of taking it back. You know.
And like in New York, would that be like a community board, which is like a your neighborhood board?
It would be your town board, and it would be your county board. A lot of counties have what they call legislators. You know, oh man, I just inhaled a gnat. Hang on a minute. Whatever governing body you have, whether it's a mayor with a board, that's home rule law. And the county with a board, They used to have what they called a board of supervisors. The counties would be run by the supervisors of every town, but then they got rid of that, which I think was a bad idea, because look, you got a bunch of guys, they call themselves county legislatures, and it's all very nice, and they get paid a nice salary in that. But when you had each town supervisor coming together and meeting in one place as a county, who knows what your town needs better than your town supervisor? When you get a legislator, if you're a county legislator, he kind of like out of touch a little bit, because, you know, he's in there. It becomes very political, more political stuff going on. They just tend to waste money. And so I think they should get back to all the supervisors getting together and making those decisions that affect everybody in the county. You know, look at this system of government was designed for government by consent of the people. And what my town decides, as long as it's constitutional, your town has no business getting into, or nobody else can tell me we can't do that, because that's what being American is, and that's what representative government is. But we forget these things, you know? So, you know, go to your town boards. You know, when I was on the town board, people would come around and they would ask us to pass a resolution that they would run to every town in the county and then every county in the state if they had a big issue that affected everybody. You know, back during the way this whole system started was from the Mosaic system. When Moses and Aaron were here, they ran things with tens of families and hundreds of families, and they did all their voting on a local level, and nothing got to Moses and Aaron unless they couldn't solve the problem. So, you know, the bigger issues that affect everybody that go outside of the family and outside of the community and outside of the divisions that they had, you know, it, like when we have public divisions, we have counties and we have wards and all this stuff. Well, when you get a big issue that affects everybody, then you get up to the state level. But most of this stuff should be taken care of on the local level with the local people, because they're local issues. And that's one of the bad things about all this disaster preparedness. I mean, they have a lot of good things in it. I took their NIMS course. But the thing that I don't like is they teach the local officials, the town officials, the county officials, the state officials, to hand off their authority as the problem gets bigger to the federal government. Well, some guy in the federal government really doesn't know the lay of the land of where I live. He doesn't know what's best for me in my town, like the local people do. And you want those people, the ones making the decision for your town and your county, because they understand what the nature of life and business is on that level. When you get somebody coming down from the federal government, He's got a political agenda. That's all he has. He has no idea of the local flora and fauna and the themes and the heritage and the traditions of that area. And that's the things we want to preserve. And the only ones who can preserve them are we, the people, in those communities. And so everything has to be local. And certainly George Soros has figured it out. He's running his money down at the county level, and he's also running it down at the town level in some of the important towns. You know, when they wanted that girl Millie for releasing that, they wanted to get back at her for releasing that film that she put out on the scamdemic and that. They had the local police arrest her on some bullcrap charge from 2 years ago. That's Soros' money reaching down into the towns even. Into the town in order to get back and keep people in their place. So it's very important to work on a local level. Okay, Amy, you got that?
Yeah, and I took some notes from the 3-hour hearing of the Arizona audit, so I didn't know if you want, I could share what I found.
Go ahead.
But So basically they had a non-existent cybersecurity posture in Maricopa County. For example, there are severe maintenance problems with the Dominion Election Management, or EMS, system. where it had no security patches or updates since the Dominion software was installed in August 2019. Same for operating system updates, no patches or updates since August 2019.
Sounds like my computer. No.
The voter register. Well, that's what they said. Like most people in their house, they update it every week. Other system automatically updates it. The voter registration server was, public and private facing, serving as a jump box where someone could easily obtain access. And due to existing vulnerabilities, it would take the average script kiddie approximately 10 minutes to gain access. So that server was actually breached in January. They notified law enforcement, and they notified all the people impacted by the breach whose information was exposed. Also, the routers. They have requested the routers, but they still had not received the routers, so they're going to have to subpoena the routers. I think they did that this past week. Evidence established that the routers get shared with the sheriff's office and other local admin offices. So they're not even supposed to be connected to the Internet, but it was even shared with other groups. A commonality of passwords exists. So they were sharing passwords for admin accounts, sharing the same passwords that was established in August 2019. This password everyone's sharing was established back in August 2019 and never changed.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Can it get any worse?
And So this is a critical element of cybersecurity in that the activity can't be attributed to a user. So it violates that critical rule. Auditors found anonymous logins at the system level that don't follow standard Windows authentication activity. And the Splunk logs are requested but not provided, so they also have to subpoena the Splunk logs to be able to investigate why that activity was abnormal and suspicious. And also the election management server Windows of security event log goes back. This log they gave them only goes back to February 5th, 2021 after the election, but they needed the logs that go back to the election, so they also have to subpoena that because they didn't get, again, what they asked for. They're, like, hiding this stuff, apparently. So 37,000 queries were executed on a single day searching for a blank password for a system that only contained 8 user accounts. So the EMS admin ran the script due to lack of logs. The information needed to determine where the query came from, and the EMS user who logged in during the time of those queries have not been provided. Another thing, the security role in the EMS software called poll worker. Okay, there's only one security role called poll worker. And the Internet Cache protocols have 2 NIC cards that can get configured with wireless or cellular modems. The aim is to obtain the configuration of these devices and the MAC addresses to find out if any of the MAC addresses touch the Internet. Only Dominion has access to this information. Maricopa County does not have access to the admin level key fobs or token to access the system.
Yeah, you're going to pay hell getting it from them because they're not a government organization. They're just going to thumb their nose at them.
They also have to subpoena that, too, to get those fobs that generate the tokens to get in, because nobody in the government has those. Only the contractor, Dominion, have it. So the Dominion
I don't believe that they care. I don't think that there's enough teeth in this government. I mean, unless they're going to start grabbing people and throwing them in jail and hanging them on the telephone poles, and it's never going to happen.
So that begs the question: arrogant. How were Maricopa County officials able to certify the election system fit for voting?
Well, they all need to go to jail now, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, if they don't even have a way to gain access to the system, how
are
the configurations?
If you can't even get in it to see if it's okay.
Yeah, how do they certify? So the situation exists where Maricopa County officials can't independently verify the voting systems. Only the vendor, Dominion employees, have access.
What a bunch
so
of
this
them.
Creates a vendor risk management vulnerability. So,
well, listen,
you know,
just what you said tonight, just what we know, and we don't have the information, as far as I'm concerned, that's enough to throw the whole system away. Matter of fact, we need to go back to paper ballots, and there's no reason we can't. I mean, with all this baloney going on, it takes more time to do the electronic thing, because by the time you end up checking everybody and doing this and doing that, it'd be much easier with paper ballots county by county, the way we used to do things. And it's very, very hard to fraud that, you know?
Yeah.
That's why they want to get rid of it.
So Mike Lindell, he's having the Cyber Symposium August 11th through 13th, and you can live stream it on his website, frankspeech.com. Mm-hmm. And he gave me the screenshots of the packet captures, which shows, you know, that it was, which shows kind of like the message traffic going through the internet. So with the systems, which shows they were all connected and all breached. But I have those if anyone wants them. And that the other thing is, that based on all this evidence that came out of Maricopa, they said every state, so like all of us, should be writing our representatives and demanding a forensic audit, not just the regular old audit, but the gold standard.
Yeah, we don't want a recount. We want an audit. We want, where did that come from? Why is that there? You know, that type of stuff.
So it has to be the Jovan Pulitzer gold standard style forensic audit.
Yep. That's right. Yeah.
So I wrote all my representatives in New York, but I feel like it fell on deaf ears, you know, like, because I feel like they're all working for the deep state. None of them are listening to us at this point.
Well, there's still enough people out there that are waking up. So we this has not come to a head yet. It's not over yet.
So I emailed them, and I also threw in there that I think they need to end all the vaccines, the masks, and the fake tests like yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But so I think it's important everybody, you know, reach out to their representatives with, you know, they have these email forms you could use online and just, you know, email them.
Okay, very good. I appreciate that.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and open Rebecca up if you're done, Amy.
Sure.
And hang on, let me open her up. Okay,
Hi.
Rebecca, you're
Hi.
In there. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. I, at the beginning of the COVID thing, the lie, I was in the middle of getting ready to do an evaluation on my mouth with dentists because I've got a problem where there's something there, kind of sneaky, like I would call it, and I suspect it's a cancer, and so I needed a screening, and so the COVID hit, and I lost my opportunity, basically, to get anything done about this. So when things kind of lessened up, I began again, and I'm in a position where I don't have to wear the mask, which I there's something about that mask that so insults me that makes me full of fight, and I just refuse to the death. They're not putting that thing on my face. But I'm at the point right now, and they're getting ready to lock down everything harder than before, and I think if something doesn't change. And I'm in the middle of trying to pick up this evaluation with doctors. And I was turned away this past week at our big hospital, like where all the brainiacs live and work. And I got there, and it was the College of Dentistry, and basically they called the department chair on me and would not let me in and wanted me to get a permission slip from my doctor. Of course, they don't do that. But my whole question is, okay, I'm getting some blood work, and there's like a light that can shine in your mouth, and it will show if there's any kind of I guess it'll show if there's cancer in your mouth, and it doesn't seem like I'm even going to be able to get that. But so far, the dentists have all refused me because I'm going to be in a chair with my mouth wide open for you to look in my mouth, and I'm not going to wear that mask from the elevator up to your office. And so no one will see me because they're not even like a last minute of the day walk in and just, you know, shine the light in my mouth. But I am having blood work done this week. And so my question, Gerard, basically is for you, you know, where do I begin with like a natural health? I don't know that I want to do a chemo or radiation or anything like that. Where would I begin with more like a natural regimen? And will it give me healing? Will that heal cancer if I did that route?
Well, that's a really loaded question. I am into that stuff, and I believe that for every disease there is a remedy out there, and it's not it is not a synthetic remedy. So it's kind of like common sense, you know. You know, they would love for me to say, don't go to your doctor, because that's like, oh, look, doctors are only good for so long. People get second opinions for a reason, you know. And look, they can do a lot of stuff with modern technology. But one thing doctors never do, and here's the problem with them, is they get maybe 2 hours of nutrition in their medical degree. Let me tell you something. If you were a million-dollar racehorse, or a prize steer, breeding steer, what's the first thing the vet does when you come in sick, when that animal comes in sick? They examine its diet. Because 99 times out of 100, it's because they don't have the right minerals, trace minerals, vitamins, and that's how they treat animals. You know why they treat animals like that? Because they're worth more than you. That's why. So that's all I'm going to tell you. Look at, if you don't put the right stuff in, how can you and how can you get the right stuff out? How could you maintain health if you don't have? I believe, from my research, that most cancer is advanced malnutrition, basically, and you know, autoimmune disease. A lot of it is acquired. A lot of it is due to chemical poisonings and all that. But nevertheless, the body will heal itself if it's given the right stuff. It's not the doctor that heals you. It's your immune system that God gave you. And if you think you're going to get healed without your immune system working, that's a lie from hell. All they can do is assist your immune system. They can lower a bacterial load if you had a bacterial infection. And actually, they're pretty good with that. But they don't know. The trouble is they do very, very good in acute care. Chronic care medicine, we're going to look back at these days as the dark ages of medicine. Just like when they were bleeding people, and oh, that's terrible. It's worse today. The stuff that they put in the chemotherapy is poison. And when they do get results, I'm quoting Dr. Simicinian, the Italian doctor, who was curing cancerous tumors by putting catheters in to the veins and stuff that went to them, and bathing them in a solution of baking soda, and they would disappear within hours. And so he came to the conclusion that the only time, he said, you know, when they have luck with chemotherapy, he says it's because they have to buffer it with baking soda or it'll kill you. And he believed that any time a chemotherapy worked, it only worked because they were putting baking soda in it. So it's something, I didn't look into it, but that's his theory, and they should be looking into it. This is a medical doctor. He's way above my pay grade. Anything I say is not my opinions. I always get them Everything I get from somebody who's in the business, who's a PhD, a doctor, or whatever. And these guys, you know, when they speak out, they put their neck on the line, because they're not allowed to step out of that tight parameter that they've developed for them. You know, they don't want them going off and doing alternative treatments, because you got a big cabal, and basically what you have is you have synthetic oil medicines, medicines made out of coal tar, and it's the oil industry, basically. They want to give you synthetic medicines. They don't want to give you anything that you can grow in a plant. It has to be patentable, because they can't make money from it otherwise, you know. I mean, just what they put, the stuff that they put in our foods and the diets that we eat, most problems are right there, and you got to look at that. And there are alternative health practitioners that do very well, but it's a holistic approach. There's not just one answer. You have to look at the whole body. You have to look at your whole lifestyle, and that's even spiritual. I mean, look at the quickest way to make somebody sick is to put them under mental stress. Mental stress will lower your immune system quicker than anything. And so if you've been diagnosed with a serious terminal type cancer or something like that, you should not be looking at the news or anything else like that, because that's mental stress. That takes more out of your life than it gives you. And so you have to have a holistic approach. You have to immediately think about yourself and where you're going and what you're doing, and you need to get into a very spiritual and you know, what do animals do when they're sick? I mean, look at the animals. They don't have doctors. Nobody sets their bones. I've seen deer with three legs, and they run around and they live, and nobody patched them. Nobody, you know what I mean? So what do? They lay down and they don't eat. They fast. You know why? Because when you shut off the alimentary, the digestive system, that's a lot of energy it takes to digest food. And when you're sick, you don't need to be digesting food. You need to be healing. And you should have enough built-up resources that you could not eat, that you can fast for a period of time, like a week at a time. You know, the healthier you are, the longer you can fast, by the way. But nevertheless, that's what animals do. They stop eating. And that's what our problem is. We're always stuffing our face with garbage. So take a lesson from them. You know, the first thing you do is you clean out. You know, and I don't care what these doctors think, or they think that I'm preaching medicine without a license. It's common sense. You know, what's coming out of you? Look at your stool. What's it look like? Why is that happening? You know, they got us so dumbed down, we don't ask those questions. You know, Eastern medicine, very, very much ahead of where we are, very much ahead. You know, and they did that for thousands of years. I studied homeopathy for 10 years. I use it on all my kids. It works wonderful. And there's other medicines that kind of go along that theory of vibrational medicine. Homeopathy is one of them. But you got the Rife machine, and then Eastern medicine, it's very diet-centric. You know, it centers on that. And balancing the system between acid and alkaline. These are all things that everybody should learn and know how to do. You should not learn. Most cancers and things like that, they live in an acidic environment, and they live in an anaerobic. If you get oxygen in your system, cancer cells cannot survive in that kind of environment. And the reason they're growing there is because there's not enough oxygen, and it's an acidic condition, basically. So okay. You take a lesson from that. There's a ton of information out there. You have to educate yourself. I can't do it on the show here tonight, but there's tons and tons of stuff out there. And that's the nice thing about the internet, because you can basically you can educate yourself. And that they're starting to kill that information, you know. They just took today all the alternative sites off of not Twitter, what's the other one? Oh, man, I'm sorry, I can't even. It's one of the other popular ones that they use, and it's not Twitter. It's the one that TikTok is on and all them all the time. And they Instagram deleted all the alternative medicine sites. These guys are desperate. When you see them doing that, that means their world is about to crash. And see, this whole COVID thing is being discovered, and it's insidious. It's terrible what they did. And the head of Pfizer said anybody that took that shot, they got 3 years to live. And that was a very discouraging revelation for him to give. There's other people out there saying that there's things you can do to stop that spike protein, but it's not a good situation. And if it's true that everybody that took that shot's going to be dead within 3 years, then that means we're going to lose over a third of the world's population. That's massive. And that's not COVID. That's their vaccination, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That is the biowar. That was the Trojan horse. That's what they wanted to bring us to. And as far and the evidence is showing that COVID was nothing more than influenza A and influenza B, and they just called it COVID, and that PCR test is invalid as all hell. Portugal just banned it. The guy that invented it caved in and put down, he originally said you can't use it for diagnosis, and they made him retract that, and then they started using it. That's the only thing that made this pandemic take off. First of all, when have you ever heard that you could have a deadly disease and no symptoms and be asymptomatic, where you could give it to somebody, though, that you can be contagious? When you go to a doctor, he starts asking you, well, what's your symptoms? If you have no symptoms, guess what? You're not sick. There has never been ever a pathogen that you could have and be sick and not know it. I mean, in order for you to be contagious, you have to have symptoms. Now, I'm not saying that you can't have it in you, but if you have no symptoms, you're not shedding it, okay? So in order for you to be infected, you need to have symptoms in your immune system. And they're telling us, you need to come to us and take this test so we can tell you if you're terminally ill with this sickness. It's never been done before, ever. It's such a lie. But anyway,
I wonder, just like, is there a book, something I could? I listen to you a lot. I'm trying to learn so much and take in so much from the program. And I hate to say I don't know much about the plants or anything either, but I kind of think I would start with teas and like making teas with different, like comfrey, they do a tea there. But like, what could I start with? Like, who's a good book or somebody in all?
Look, we have a whole health section in NLA. We have all these alternative healths that you could look up. All these different doctors and stuff. But let me just say, you have to have a good foundation. You have to have trace minerals and vitamins. You have to supplement today. And let me tell you why you have to supplement. If you think you're going to get all that stuff from your food, you're seriously, it's a mythical diet, because our soil is so depleted, it's missing all the trace minerals. It doesn't have the copper, the chromium that you need for health. So if you're not supplementing, you're already behind the eight ball, okay? So supplementation is very important, and I don't care what the doctors say. You know what? I'll argue with any doctor, and I'll give him the doctors that say this. This isn't me. This is their own peers, you know? So you have to look at the thing as a holistic thing. And I gave you a lot of meat here to think about: acid, alkaline, anaerobic and aerobic and all that. That's all what health is about. Look, they're going to look back on these days as the dark ages of medicine. So you need to eat a simple, pure diet, whole live foods. Right off the bat, you want to cut your protein down, your animal protein, even though I'm not saying animal protein is bad. There's people that have gotten better eating nothing but meat, like Atkins diet. They lose weight and they get healthy. So the trouble with eating only meat like that is, if you're not getting free range beef that on grass, you're getting beef that they're growing with the feeds, which is not natural. Cows were not meant to eat oats and stuff all day. They meant to eat grass. So if you can get grass fed beef, that's very healthy. and all the bone broths. If you could get organic chicken and bone broth stew, that's what we're missing today. We're missing all that stuff that comes out of the bone marrow that our forefathers used to cook and boil. They ate a lot of soups. They cooked the bones until the marrow fell out. That's why they were healthy. You know, look up bone broth soup. There's people that stake their life on it. There's so much stuff out there that you can educate. And we have a lot of it on our site. Go through and look up the health. You know, go to the drop-down boxes. We have a lot of health food stuff. We have a lot of stuff in there about just all kinds of different alternative stuff. And I don't even want to say it out loud because they're so vicious today. They'll come in they'll delete us. You know what I mean? So you gotta step up to the plate yourself and do research, or you need to find yourself a holistic doctor in your area. They are around. You can find them. Talk to everybody. You'll find people that and there's not any one answer. What works for one person doesn't necessarily work for another person. I got a set of tapes by Dr. Lorena Day, and she was an emergency room doctor that came down with breast cancer, and she was like, you know, such a good doctor in the emergency room, and she was an orthopedic and this and that, but she saw so many people die from cancer, she refused to take the chemotherapy, and she refused to let them operate, and she decided that she was going to kill that cancer on her own before she ever let them touch, and she documented her whole fight, and she must have tried 10 different holistic therapies, and she got pictures of this horrible tumor that grew between her breasts that was bigger than her breasts, red and ugly, but she beat it. She almost died, but she beat it. And she wrote a book. Look up Lorena Day, Cancer Doesn't Scare Me Anymore. Very good. Okay?
That's what I'm kind of after. And I've been almost a couple of years, and there's begun to be a little pain, and that causes me a little fear, but I won't say fear. So this is what I need, because I feel like I'm scrambling a little bit at this point, and I hate to take up time with the show to
ask
the question.
We don't have a lot of people. Look, I took a lot of time with you because there's nobody in the queue, so you happen to hit a good night. Because I wouldn't have been able to do this with you. There's nobody there, and when I'm done with you, I'm going to end because I need to go to the little boys' room too. So, but anyway, there's you should find yourself a holistic care, because what happens is it's very hard when you're sick to make the right decisions all the time. Mm-hmm. Plus, if you have fear, that's one of the bigger things that'll drive you sicker. So anxiety and that type of stuff.
I walk with God.
There you go.
With all my heart, the Almighty. So,
that's right.
So he's holding my hand, and his hand is bigger than the hand of man. He's on my right hand, and I'm reaching to man on the left, but he's bigger, and it's ultimately his decision. But I don't want to fear, no fear, because it's not of God, it's of the devil. So that's my story, but I wanted to ask, I've been listening, and I love the health part of this too, and I'm in it, found myself in a battle. So
we should pray for you, you know, and that makes a big difference. You're Rebecca, where are you, in Tennessee?
I'm in Kentucky, actually.
Kentucky.
I'm in a great place, yeah.
Well, come back in, and everybody tonight should say a prayer for Rebecca in Kentucky. And I believe the power of prayer is very, very powerful. Because, I worked in vibrational medicine, and what is a prayer? It's a frequency. It's a vibration. And that's what homeopathy is, and that's what... You know, there was a Japanese doctor that discovered that he could take vibrations, music and stuff, and play it in front of water, and then take that water and freeze it, and then look at the crystals that it formed. Unbelievable. I wish I could remember his name. And music with heavy metal, it looked horrible. And then nice, you know, Bach and Beethoven, what do you call it? Crystals like snowflakes that look like angels. Unbelievable. Oh, Dr. Emoto. Thank you, Francine. Dr. Emoto, just look it up. This is part emoto. Look, yeah, and there's lots and lots of vibrational medicine out there. That's the new wave is vibrational medicine, and that includes meditation and prayer. And it's a lot deeper than we think it is, and it's a lot more part of a whole system. Look, we're going to look in 20 years. We're going to look back and we're going to say, "Holy mackerel!" Like, you know, people aren't going to believe where we were and what we were doing. You know, we're ready to do another 5,000 year leap into the future if we survive this latest business with this totalitarian crackdown where they're trying to take us all over. If we get through this, there'll be no stopping us. It'll be a brave new world, I believe.
Okay.
But we'll shall see. But anyway, you have a blessed day and a night, and thank you for coming on, and keep us posted of your progress anyway.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Right. So listen, there's nobody else in the queue, and I have to go because nature's calling, and I'm going to just close down. And it's been a really good call. Thank you, everybody, for coming on. And we'll do it again next Monday. Okay. Have a good night, everybody. Let's see here. Where's the recording? Shut the recording.